Morning. We are still talking about Gemara. It says, "Bikesh Hakadosh Baruch Hu lasot Chizkiyah Mashiach." Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyah Mashiach. We saw four interpretations of. The simplest explanation is that right there in the middle of the first base of Megdash, before there were even four exiles, Hashem was going to make Chizkiyah Mashiach, and the world would reach its perfection. The second one was that Hashem was going to keep Chizkiyah alive until thousands of years later when it would be time for Mashiach to come. The third was that Hashem was going to not make Chizkiyah Mashiach at all, but give Chizkiyah a Mashiach-like existence of peace and prosperity and so on. And the fourth, which we're in the middle of discussing, was that of the Arizal, that Hashem was going to make Chizkiyah Mashiach ben Yosef. And the question that we asked, and today we'll answer, is how could Chizkiyah, who was from Beis David, be Mashiach ben Yosef? In order to do that, we will try to gain a little deeper understanding of Mashiach ben Yosef, particularly in the thought of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon's writings about Mashiach ben Yosef are spread throughout his writings, most of which are Kabbalistic writings. Typically, when somebody says something in the name of the Vilna Gaon, it wasn't something the Vilna Gaon wrote himself. It's something that people say in the name of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon wrote a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. He wrote a commentary on Mishlei. And he wrote a lot of Kabbalistic writings. A lot of what I'm going to present today is gathered from the writings of the Vilna Gaon in a sefer called Magdil Yeshuot Malko, Inyanei Shnei HaMashichim Al Pi Ramchal VeHagra by Rav Aryeh Shapira, who's a contemporary Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, teaches at a number of different yeshivas. He's a son-in-law of Rav Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg, which makes his wife a granddaughter of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he wrote two svarim, at least that I know of, about Mashiach. This one and another one called Acharit Kereshit. By way of introduction, before we see what Rav Shapira writes, so we said last week, named for Sadia Gaon, that all of the episodes that Midrashim describe regarding the wars of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben Yosef being killed will all happen if we don't do tshuva. But that if we do tshuva, Mashiach will come right away. And Mashiach ben David will come suddenly and right away and be no need for Mashiach ben Yosef. The idea of there being two different processes by which Mashiach can come is based on the last pasuk in last Shabbos's Haftorah. This is in Yeshaya, Perek Samech, pasuk Chaf Beis. Hagatan ye la elef, v'atzair legoy atzum. The smallest shall increase a thousandfold, and the least into a mighty nation. Ani Hashem v'itach hishena. I am Hashem. In its time, I will hasten it. The Gemara later in our Perek in Sanhedrin says that this alludes to two different processes of Mashiach coming. There's, and this is very famous, Be'ita, in its time, and Achishena, I will hasten it. And depending on the merits of the Jewish people, either Mashiach will come at the appointed time, or Mashiach will come earlier. And that is what presumably Rav Sadia Gaon is alluding to as well. Rav Sadia Gaon seems to be saying that if we do not do tshuva, then the coming of Mashiach will be a long, drawn-out process, culminating at the proper time that Mashiach was meant to come. And if we do tshuva, then Mashiach will appear suddenly, even if it's early. The Vilna Gaon seems to understand differently. For example, in the Sefer Imrei Noam, which is a collection of explanations in the name of the Vilna Gaon on Masechet Brachos, on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, it says, Yemot Mashiach ben Yosef Talya Bizchut. The days of Mashiach ben Yosef depends on our merit. As we will see momentarily when we get into the various sources relied upon by Rav Shapira, that has to do with the very nature of the difference between Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, but that does seem to be the opposite of what Rav Sadia Gaon is writing. The Vilna Gaon explains, and henceforth in this year, when I say the Vilna Gaon explains, I really mean Rav Shapira explains that the Vilna Gaon explains the Geula of Be'ita in its proper time, Mashiach ben David appearing suddenly, is a Geula of Midas HaChesed. Hashem, in his kindness, will redeem us whether we deserve it or not, and it will be for everyone, because when Hashem does kindness, it's, you know, unconditional, no strings attached, so it'll be for everyone. The Geula of Achishena, of, I will bring him earlier, that's depends on our merits. So that's a Geula through Midas Hadin. It requires tshuva, and it will be for those who did tshuva. That's what's alluded to by Pasuk in Yirmiyah that we've quoted a number of times. Echad me'ir u'shnai mimishpacha. One from a city, two from a family. In other words, since it will be dependent on tshuva, only those who have done tshuva, which will be the minority of people, will merit to participate in this geula. That's if the geula comes early through our merits. The geula of Be'ita in its proper time is the geula in which Mashiach ben David appears suddenly. The geula of Achishena, of an early arrival of Mashiach through our merits, requires Mashiach ben Yosef, who will continue the atonement process through the, either literally or figuratively, the various descriptions that we've seen in the Midrashim. These two ideas are associated with the fact that, as are many things, Yaakov had two wives, Rachel and Leah, and they were different. Rachel is described as beautiful. Leah is not particularly beautiful. So he associates that here with beauty. Rachel's beauty reflects good deeds, whereas Leah is Yaakov's wife unconditionally.
Associating Mashiach
ben Yosef with Rachel. Yosef comes from Rachel. David, Yehuda, comes from Leah. And Leah's status as Yaakov's wife is unconditional. Right? She just appeared there suddenly. Like Mashiach ben David appearing suddenly. She appeared suddenly. She was great tzedekah, but the Torah doesn't describe her as having any merit. She just shows up on the scene. And she's unconditionally a mother of Kol Yisrael. Whereas Rachel is described, Yaakov loved Rachel because she was beautiful. We understand it doesn't mean physical beauty, but it's a matter of merit. And so you see that connection between Rachel, Yosef, Zuchus, good deeds, tshuva, on the one hand, and Leah, David, unconditional redemption, on the other hand. So it starts at the very beginning of history. I did not see anyone who makes this point, but it's also interesting to note that Rachel, like Mashiach ben Yosef, dies in the middle of the story. Earlier in this perek, we had a discussion in the Gemara contrasting David HaMelech and Shaul HaMelech, as you may recall. One of the things that we said there was that one of the reasons Shaul was jealous is because the halacha is like David all the time. You see a concept of perfection in David that's not found. Shaul is from Shevet Binyamin, which is the brother of Yosef, right? The child of Rachel. You see, it's just like an unconditional perfection in David that's not found in child of Rachel. You see a connection as well, a connection to Torah in David that's not found in Shaul. So these all things all tie in. In fact, I almost decided to talk about Mashiach ben Yosef when we did that Gemara, but then decided to wait. He says that the idea of Mashiach ben Yosef dying, it's not necessarily to be taken literally. What it means is that unlike the leadership of David, which can't die, the leadership of a Yosef can die, because the leadership of a Yosef is a leadership that's based on good deeds, based on tshuva. It's based on our accomplishments, and with our lack of accomplishments, it can fall, as opposed to the leadership of Mashiach ben David, which is a leadership that's, you know, just based on perfection. It's so there's no concept of Mashiach ben David dying. There's a concept of Mashiach ben Yosef dying, but suggesting, and as we've said many, many times in learning Ein Yaakov and the way a person should learn Medrash, not necessarily meant to be taken literally. So perhaps there won't ever be a story about these wars, Armilus or Gog Magog. You'll never read it about it in the newspaper. Perhaps it's all symbolic of something deeper. Again, we'll know as time goes on. Hopefully we'll zocha to see. And I said that a couple of times. Hopefully we'll be zocha to see. There are Amoraim in the Gemara who say, I hope I don't live to see it. So maybe we should say, hopefully we won't be zocha to see. But at some point, hopefully we'll understand. We saw the Gemara in Sukkah that talked about the Hesped at the end of time, and it was Machlokes, whether it was referring to a Hesped for Mashiach ben Yosef or a Hesped for the Yetzer Hara. We saw the Maral said that there's a connection between the two. According to this, we see the connection a little more deeply, that the whole idea of Mashiach ben Yosef is Mashiach, coming of Mashiach associated with Tshuva. When Mashiach ben Yosef is no longer necessary, then Mashiach ben Yosef, so to speak, dies. And at that same point, the Yetzer Hara dies. When tshuva is no longer necessary, when the Yetzer Hara no longer exists. Parenthetically, Gemara there talked about tzaddikim crying when the Yetzer Hara is shechted, and we gave a couple different explanations for why that might be. I saw another one over Shabbos, which is that, you know, the Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara is very great, and if not for Hashem's assistance, we could never prevail. So when the Gemara there says that the tzaddikim will see that the Yetzer Hara is like a great mountain, they will cry. What the Gemara is saying is that the tzaddikim will see how great the Yetzer Hara was and realize how much they were dependent on Hashem's help, and therefore think that they actually won't get any reward because they could never have done it themselves. And that's why they'll cry. That's an additional explanation for that Gemara there, but that's parenthetical. When Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim and traveled through the desert, Chazal tell us that there were two Aronos traveling in front of them. There was the Aron Kodesh carrying the Luchos, and the Aronos Shel Yosef, the coffin of Yosef. And they traveled together in front of the Jewish people. And when they would meet people on the road, people would say, what are these two containers? They would be told, one has the Torah and one has Yosef's bones. And people would say, why are they together? How does that make sense? And the answer would be, Kiyem ze ma shekatuv bezeh, because this person kept what's written in this Torah. Keep that in mind. We'll come back to that. These two Aronos are referred to in Medrash as, one is Aron Shel Yosef, and the other one is Aron Chei HaOlamim, the Aron of the one who lives forever. Who else lives forever? David HaMelech. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, we say. Not that he literally lives forever, but David is associated with the idea of living forever. So you have the Aron of Hashem, who lives forever, which is also the Aron of David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam on the one hand, and the Aron of Yosef next to it, who's dead. The Aron has his bones in it. It's his coffin. In fact, when Yosef asked the Jewish people to take his bones out of Mitzrayim, his words are, "Pakod yifkod elokim etchem, Hashem will redeem you, v'alitem et asmatayim yizeh, and you should take my bones out." He connected, Yosef himself connected the concept of geula, of redemption, with Yosef dying. So you see, already at the beginning of Jewish history, there's this contrast between, we saw this contrast between Rachel and Leah, and later coming out of Mitzrayim, there's this contrast between David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, the Aron Chei HaOlamim, and the Aron of Shel Yosef, Aron of Yosef who's dead, and Yosef himself connected Geula with his death. Where was Yosef buried? Yosef was buried in Shechem. Shechem was the place that he was kidnapped from, and Shechem is the place where Yeravam ben Nevat declared independence from the kingdom of Yehuda. It's the place where we said last week that Mashiach ben Yosef dying is connected with, is a tshuva for the split in the kingdom. Where did that split start? It started when the brothers sold Yosef, when Yehuda in particular was the one who came up with the idea of selling Yosef. It started in Shechem, the split between the two kingdoms, between the two types of leadership, Yehuda and Yosef, and we'll see more about this tomorrow. Yehuda and Yosef represent different types of leadership. They should have worked together, but they split, and that started in Shechem. And that continued when the kingdoms split in Shechem. And the idea of burying Yosef in Shechem is to be a kapara for that.
Connection between Dina and...
Could be. Don't offhand have one. The Aron Chei HaOlamim had the Luchos in it. The other, we speak about there being another Aron that had the broken Luchos in it. They weren't in Yosef's coffin. But the idea of two Aronos, an Aron for the Luchos and Aron for the broken Luchos. Broken Luchos also symbolizes death. That brings us to Chizkiah. In Divrei Yamim, Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, says, V'kavod asulo b'moto. They did great honor for him in his death. And the Gemara in Baba Kama says it's referring to Chizkiah. And it describes the tremendous funeral that Chizkiah had. And then the Gemara says, well, Achav also had a funeral like that. Achav was the greatest Rasha of the kings. And Chizkiah is, except for David and Shlomo, the greatest tzaddik. What does that prove? They had the same kind of funeral. So the Gemara says, no, what it means, v'kavod asulo b'moto, what they did, great honor for him in his death, is that they put a Sefer Torah on his bier. They didn't have coffins. They would bury people like they still do in Eretz Yisrael without coffins. But on the stretcher that's carrying him, they put a Sefer Torah there. And they said, kiyem zeh masha ketuv b'zeh. Just like we saw Aron of Yosef and the Aron HaKodesh traveling together, to say, kiyem zeh masha ketuv b'zeh, we find exactly the same language about Chizkiah that we find about Yosef. We also find about Chizkiah, and this, as far as I can tell, is not in this Sefer, but my own Chiddush that fits in with this. When we talked about the timeline involved, we saw that it was in Chizkiah's lifetime that the kingdom of the 10 tribes ended. The split between, and they were exiled, and then some of them came back. The beginning of the reunification of all of the tribes who previously had been split into two kingdoms was in Chizkiah's time. It fits in very well with this idea. For what it's worth, that's my Chiddush. Chizkiah, we saw, over from his father Achaz, who had closed the Batei Medrash, had closed the shuls, was an incredible idol worshiper. And Chizkiah was, like we said, one of the greatest tzaddikim. And in Chizkiah's time, the Gemara says, they checked from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, all of Eretz Yisrael. There wasn't a child who wasn't proficient in Torah. The greatest possible tshuva compared to what had been one generation earlier. we see that Chizkiah, even though he was from the house of David, really could have fulfilled both roles because of the tshuva that was brought about and because of the teaching Torah that was that brought about. Not that Chizkiah would have been Mashiach ben Yosef, because Chizkiah is not from Yosef, but thanks to Chizkiah, there could have been no need for Mashiach ben Yosef. Nearly everything was fixed in Chizkiah's time. The split between the kingdoms was over. Avodah Zarah was practically eliminated, not entirely. Torah learning was at its highest level ever. So Chizkiah could have been Mashiach ben David, and as maybe in the future, had rolled into him the function of Mashiach ben Yosef as well. It also fits in very well that the Midas Hadin opposed making Chizkiah Mashiach. That relates to Mashiach ben Yosef, because we saw that the coming of Mashiach ben Yosef depends on din, whereas the coming of Mashiach ben David does not depend on din. It's a function of Hashem's Midah of Chesed. That is how Rav Aryeh Shapira explains, based on the writings of the Gra. Have a good day.